This episode of Foreplay is brought to you by the Barstool Sports Make Sundays Great Again shirt. Phenomenal shirt. We got it in red and white. We got it in red and black. We got it in
spring themed
colors. Go to store.barstoolsports.com. Buy the super famous, beloved, unbelievably great Make Sundays Great Again shirt. Okay, it is Foreplay, our second episode, AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am Week. A little bit of housekeeping to kick it off. We are very much encouraging people to go to our iTunes and Podcast One pages, leave reviews. 5 stars would be ideal, but whatever you think we deserve.
5 stars. Leave 5 stars.
We deserve 5 stars, so put in 5 stars. You're a dummy. If you don't put in 5 stars, you cannot make sense of things.
Yep.
5-star reviews. You are going to notice that we have absolutely fire green jackets.
Yep.
How is this going to work? You're going to get potentially rewarded based on reviews. Go in there. Leave a review. We are going to, once every month, choose the top review, the number one top review of the month. And you are going to win. We will ask for your sizing and send you a Barstool Sports Foreplay green jacket.
Exactly.
We're going to pick the top comment. Now, think about, we went back and forth a little bit about this. What's a top comment? Think about the things that we like. We like humor. We like stories. We like segment ideas. We like good ideas for the show. We like things that are just interesting and whatever you think we would think is a good review.
We're going to pick the top one, and they're going to win a Barstool Sports green jacket.
So go in, leave a review. Best one's going to get a Barstool Sports green jacket. It's yours to keep forever. You can do whatever you want with it. Go in. The only way you could possibly win, leave a review, iTunes, Podcast One. Can you leave reviews on Stitches? What's Stitches?
It's Stitcher, and I don't think you can leave reviews.
That's producer Rob.
Okay. Oh, yeah, producer Rob. Robbie Fox, producer of the show.
Focus on iTunes. iTunes are the reviews. That's
leave a review on iTunes. You can win a green jacket. It's unbelievable. Go leave a review. 5 stars, preferably.
Before we get started, I just want to say shout out. First week, we were the number one sports podcast in the world, in the universe. And this is a way to keep that going.
So the best way for us to stay number one, we've already been number one. I don't know how you go from number one to a better number one.
Yeah.
But the best way to get us up, keep us up in the rankings so more people find out about us, is to leave reviews, to give us 5 stars, all of that. Helps us out big time, become bigger. We're going to get bigger guests. We're going to affect more lives of people that like golf or are interested in golf. So, yeah, shout out to us for coming out. Hot week one.
Really hot. It felt really cool. You never know how these things are going to go, and it seems like everything we thought is correct. People watch and enjoy golf the same way we do.
People really liked, you know, that we're not necessarily a PGA Tour podcast.
Right.
We're very much kind of about just talking about things that you do with your buddies or things that maybe even you and your brothers or if you're a female list or you and your sisters, you and your family. What you guys do to enjoy the game, whether you're playing it, whether you're watching it, whatever. People really, I feel like, kind of latched on to that.
Yeah, it was a good idea. So that's the thing with the reviews. We want to keep that up. We want more people to listen. We want more people to get involved with our communal podcast that we're trying to create here. So the more reviews, subscribe, rate, all that stuff. And then, like we said, green jacket to the top review.
Another quick housekeeping thing. We are looking for an intern / some sort of producer, if Rob will give you some sort of title like that, to help us out with social media.
I think the title is social media intern.
We need a social media intern. Shout out to all those that have reached out and that have made an effort. We've been tracking all of it. We've got a couple guys that are helping us out indirectly, different things as well that have been fantastic. So huge shout out to all those people. We are looking for basically you need to be anything and everything golf social media in the world. You need to be unique. You need to be creative. You need to be a social media wizard. You need to make it so that our accounts are must follow if you watch.
That's
golf.
The thing. You need to know golf. And you need to be funny. Those are kind of the main things. But then we're going to give you the space to make it whatever you want it to be.
Email foreplay@barstoolsports.com. Make sure that you put in the headline. What is it, Rob?
Just put intern resume, intern application, something about intern.
Social media intern, application, resume, something about intern. put that in there because we're getting a lot of different emails for a lot of different stuff. So put that in there so you can help us sort through it. That's housekeeping. I thought we kind of dominated the housekeeping section.
It went well.
Yeah.
It went
That's
really
a brand
well.
New segment, housekeeping.
Yep.
Really good stuff.
Really revolutionary, I would say.
Yeah, I don't think you see that very often.
Nope, you don't see people talking about that.
People
at the
helping
top.
People, common golfer, you know, all that shit, all of our theme. So moving right along, waste management, reaction.
That's right.
I love the tournament.
Everybody loves the tournament. It's a great tournament.
The tournament is unbelievable. It went to, it was four playoff holes. Did it go four playoff holes last year as well?
I can't remember how many. I think that might be right.
It
might
have been
Matsuyama
four as well.
And Fowler.
Went into, you know, well into the first half again of the Super Bowl.
That's kind of the bad rap that it gets is it's like, oh, I love this golf tournament. We talked about it last week. I love that the golf tournament leads up to the Super Bowl. It gives me something to watch that's not pregame coverage. And then it kind of shoots itself in the foot when it's people are like, well, I love golf, but the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. People are going to flip over. So
yeah.
A lot of people probably missed a pretty good ending of that golf tournament.
Definitely. And we, you know, we had some people kind of being like, hey, I'm going to a Super Bowl pregame and everyone wants to watch the, you know, the pre-Super Bowl, all the pregame coverage and all that. How can I watch golf? And it is true. It's tough to kind of skip over that to watch the golf. But I think the finale Sunday, kind of how the whole week went, spoke to pro golf. I think it's in a good spot. I mean, even though it was, you know, it was on, had a one-shot lead on Laird.
Yep.
And then he had a four-shot lead on a huge packet that were at 12 under going into the final round. And it was still incredibly compelling.
Yeah, Sunday. If on just kind of On made it interesting because he didn't play that well on Sunday. If he shoots, you know, a number in the high 60s, he runs away with it. It did not go that way. And then, you know, Matsuyama comes out of nowhere. Not out of nowhere, but he does Matsuyama things.
Yeah, and credit to me for making it interesting for myself because I bet on.
That's right.
At plus 175 when I woke up. And I did, you know, this is a little trick, an old podcast, number one podcaster trick, that if you're not overly thrilled with the leaderboard, you can really make it interesting by just betting your hard-earned money on it.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then I was just on the edge of my seat. When he missed that short putt coming down the stretch in the back nine, I jumped out of my chair. Yeah. I gasped. That was devastating. So I will say that betting this Sunday on it was effective. The effect you want is you want to care. You want it to matter. I lost money, sure. That's what the haters will say. It was electric. I like loved watching the coverage.
And I don't want to say we never root for people to collapse. Like if somebody's going to win, they're going to win. Because you and I were texting back and forth, and I was like, man, something needs to happen here. I didn't say the word collapse if we want to have an interesting tournament. And you're like, that's true, but I bet money on, so I don't want it to go too far. And unfortunately, it did.
I'm pretty sure you literally said we need a huge collapse here.
That could be true.
In your text. But anyway, we got the playoff between Webb Simpson, Hideki Matsuyama, four holes, great birdie on 17. That 17th hole, the drivable par four, there's water. Simpson got himself kind of over on the right with a weird angle.
Yep.
Couldn't quite make the two-putt birdie. Hideki did. He made, I don't know what it was, 12 feet or something like that.
Yeah.
So phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal finish. That guy has, and we had our stat guy, producer Rob, he's got 3 wins, 2 seconds, a tie for 6, and has not finished outside the top 33 in his last eight PGA Tour starts. That's unbelievable.
He's a star. We knew, I mean, he was probably everybody's hot pick to be the next guy who's going to break out, and it seems to be right on course.
I hated the pause at the top a little while ago. I'm all in now.
You are?
I might start implementing it. I might put like a pause in my stride when I just walk around the office.
I was going to say, putting it in your swing is going to mess some things up.
Definitely, but I think it's worth it for what you're looking for at the end. Whatever he's doing, it's working. He was killing the ball too. The one thing we do have to mention that everybody's kind of on top of now on social media is his ridiculous, you know, he throws his arms up and drops his club in disgust every swing, and he just pipes it right down the fucking middle.
Even the golf announcers who usually, you know, they love the players. They love talking about the players. A guy like Matsuyama, an up-and-comer, who's playing really well. Even they were like, he's got to stop doing that where he swings one-handed through, acts like it's going to be horrible, and then it's, you know, 350 down the middle.
And if you do that like once a month or something, it's always funny.
Yeah.
There's even, you know, they chop up clips where that it's always funny and interesting when they do that because, like, yes, they kind of mishit it and they're so good that they don't love when they don't flush it, but it worked out great.
Yep.
He does it more often than he doesn't.
It's insane. There's not any, like, Matsuyama is pretty vanilla in terms of do you like him, do you hate him? You start doing things like that, and people are going to start hating you.
Yeah, and again, I want to like it because it's kind of sweet. I don't know. Is he fucking with us? Is he like trolling us?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
And it wasn't like he was doing it, and like instead of going in the water, it went 285 down the middle. He's hitting it like 340.
I hope someone asked him about it. I didn't see anyone ask him the question about it. I hope they did.
Next segment, on to headlines. Pretty simple. We're going to go with this one. Tiger Woods withdrew after one round in Dubai.
In the middle of the night for us here back in the States, you wake up. That's a hard thing to wake up to. You're like, all right, Tiger, he shot, what, a 77 his first round? So you know he's probably not going to make the cut. But our running theme, we said it last week, the bar for Tiger has changed now. It's make a cut. And also be healthy, don't hurt your back. He did not clear the lowest bar on it. It's not good.
No, he sure didn't. And I had, you know, we had all written several times in the weeks leading up to this that, hey, you know what? A victory at this point is him just not grabbing his back and withdrawing. He literally withdrew with back spasms and back-related fucking shit issues.
Yeah, they tried to pass it off that it wasn't nerve-related. That's what the big thing is. They said it's just spasms. He couldn't get it worked out. I don't know. Here's the thing about Tiger right now. It's, I don't really care if he's actually hurt or if he's just frustrated and he doesn't want to play that in Dubai anymore. So he's like, I'm going to pull out. All that matters is he's not playing. And that's all people care about.
100%. And so you're right. They tried to do damage control. They tried to spin it. Oh, it's not related. I mean, the guy literally was out for fucking a year and a half because of back surgeries. He withdrew because back-related fucking issues.
Don't piss in our heads and tell us it's raining.
Just don't do that. We don't like that.
And also there was the little underlying storyline where Tiger obviously got a huge appearance fee to go to that tournament, and I'm pretty sure he gets to keep that money regardless. Like if you withdraw with injury, I think you get to keep the appearance fee, which makes things a little more interesting.
You would really think Tiger with the last, you know, 8 years he's had in particular and then his whole career and all the money he's made overall – really wouldn't care about that.
Like, totally.
And would, I mean, everybody was kind of talking, it's a little aggressive that he's going to play in Cali, fly all the way to fucking Dubai, commercial, and then come back, have 1 week off, and then go Genesis and then Honda Classic. But he did it. It clearly didn't work out.
It did not work. But with the back spasm thing, now it's like, all right, they're saying he's still going to play the ones that he had planned to play.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, hopefully it's just a little bit of a hiccup. I don't really know.
It's tough.
It was kind of a double tough breaking of the news for me because I stumbled home. We had a late night in the office Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Stumbled home, and I picked up. There's a McDonald's right next to my apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
24-hour McDonald's.
Clutch.
Phenomenal. One of the greatest inventions of all time. Go in, I got like two, now they do the 24-hour breakfast too. I got like two breakfast sandwiches and a hash brown.
Yeah.
Sit in my bed, I'm like, ooh, the Euro thing's on. I wonder if Tiger's teeing off. Throw it on. Literally the first fucking thing they say, oh my God, we're getting it across the wire, the news. Tiger just withdrew from the tournament. I'm like laying in a fucking pile of filth food. I'm like, what? What the hell's going on here? So I blogged it. And then kind of woke up and had, like, forgotten that everything happened.
Yeah.
And then, like, checked my phone and was like, had to find out again that Tiger had withdrawn. So a little bit of a double kick to the nuts there.
Props to you for admitting that story. You could have very much just owned the line of, I'm such a Tiger fan, I'm such a golf fan that I stayed up all night and I wanted to watch this tournament. Instead, nope, you were just shit-faced coming home at the right time / wrong time. Because I woke up in the middle of the night. I do that sometimes. You just wake up and then you check Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Because that's like our life.
Yeah, we're just like, I got about 30 seconds here while I'm awake. I'm going to check Twitter. And I see that he withdrew. And you kind of, as the blogger thing goes, you go, all right, I either blog it right now or I wait for the morning and risk somebody else going to blog it and people are going to be mad at you.
Yep, 100%.
And then I went on the Barstool app. My boy Riggsy already had it. Shit-faced Riggsy.
I was getting a bunch of the tweets coming in and whatnot, people being like, look at Riggsy up grinding at 3:30 in the morning. You don't see everybody doing that. And I was like, already asleep. Because I was like,
that's the thing. You just admitted that it wasn't that. And I respect you for that.
Honesty is the best policy. We got the Air Jordan. I believe they're calling him the Jordan 1 golf shoe. Is that what they're calling him?
Yep.
That's what everybody's talking about him. The main reason I kind of wanted to bring it up and my input on it is that I do experiment with golf fashion. I put a tweet out a couple weeks ago of some
bold shoes.
bold slash hideous shoes that I bought, impulse bought a couple weeks ago. They're like black and like turquoise and yellow Nike shoes. So these are better than those, I think.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely better than those. It's interesting. Where do you fall on Jordan golf shoes? That's really the main question.
Yeah, and I think, again, we were kind of, you know, you and I were just shooting the shit talking about it. We kind of settled on you can't suck and wear those.
No. You have to be a skillful player, or you have to be, which Keegan Bradley is, or you have to, like, personally know Michael Jordan to be like, yeah, I can rock these shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing worse than the guy that comes out dressed, like, head to toe in, like, flashy matching all gear and is just brutal.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I feel like the people who want to be like, hey, I want to rock Jordans on the golf course are the people who are going to come out in full Jordan everything. Just full Jordan everything, and then they're going to stink.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, people might even, like, guys that do that for, like, pickup basketball might buy those on accident and, like, bring them to their pickup basketball game.
They're good looking, though.
They were good looking.
We are, you and I have talked about golf shoes not on the air, just about, like, guys coming out with shoes now. Not some of them aren't great. These look awesome. You just have to be pretty awesome at golf to wear them.
Yeah. So I agree. I think, you know, I also never like to like just shit on other people's fashion because like who am I?
Right.
Like I'm an idiot. Sometimes I just think things look good and I acquire them and wear them.
Those shoes are a great example.
Right. 100%. So I'm not standing on, you know, some high horse being like, oh, you have terrible fashion if you wear those. If you wear them, you could pull it off and you're a good player. Good for you.
And another thing, golf announcers and Pierce are going to hate the shoes, which makes me like the shoes.
Definitely.
Like, when I remember when Ricky played with the high tops and the joggers, the announcers almost had a heart attack, and that made me like them even more. Anything that disrupts the status quo with all of the fashion, I think I'm on board with.
Totally agree. When I first saw Ricky and the joggers, I didn't love them. Then when I saw the outrage or whatever the hell you want to call it, the reaction to it, I started to love them. So it's kind of a little bit of a fuck you to, like, classic, you know, golf this, that, whatever. So I like them. I don't hate them. Again, if you can pull them off, you're a good player.
Go
all
ahead.
Power to you. My boy, Steven Bowditch. In trouble this week. He played Thursday, didn't play great, got what they're calling, quote-unquote, extreme DUI.
Mm-hmm.
Went, was able to get... You know, was able to go do his little court appearance, get out of there, and then play his second round.
Yep.
Missed the cut. This was gigantic news.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of tweeting at me. You ended up blogging it. I do just want to say, the reason is because I do the Steven Bowditch Memorial DFL Award every week, dead fucking last. I pick someone that's going to finish last in the tournament. Last year when I started doing this, it was very frequently / every weekend. It was Steven Bowditch. He just wasn't playing that great.
Yeah.
He's hilarious on Twitter. Great dude. It's all in good fun. And so this, I did not like to see this. This sucked. He's got a history, which we'll get into a little bit, but always pulling for Steven Bowditch. He's a great dude.
Yeah, so we're Barstool Sports. We like to have comedic angles on everything. You know, we want to be an escape for everybody, you know, things going on in the workday and all that. This is not one of those things, really. When you know the Bowditch's past, where he was suicidal, alcoholic, depression, all that stuff, it's tough. So it's like, you see something like that, and, like, he's a great dude. We want to see him get well. There's no jokes here.
No, and Sobel from ESPN, I believe it was, who had pinned an article from a couple years ago kind of detailing some of what Bowditch had gone through and all of that. So, again, he's awesome dude. He's always taken everything in stride. He's very self-deprecating. So, you know, we're always pulling for that dude. Nobody got hurt or anything crazy like that. Thankfully, he was able to make his tee time Friday, which is nuts.
That's the thing. And now if we can take it just a little bit, like, it's the week of the waste management. He made his tee time. There's a story there where you could be like, oh, this is that. But it's you just want the guy to get better. And
totally
you hope
agree.
He's doing all
right. Yeah, hope he's in a good place. Pulling for Bowditch. Again, he's the man. I think we're all very, very pro Bowditch. So, again, we hope it's not some deeper issue or anything crazy like that. He has won, you know, 3 or 4 times on tour and all that. So, hope he gets back to all that. Never rooted against him. Moving on, player feelings.
Yep.
One of our favorite segments.
It is.
A couple guys we're going to run through today. Sergio Garcia did win while Tiger was withdrawing. Sergio won. He beat Henrik Stenson down the stretch. I think he ended up winning by about 3 shots. Sergio has been a little bit of an up and down guy.
Yeah, it's the same with the second guy that we're going to talk about. I think people have grown to like Sergio more as the years get older, where That wasn't that way in the past. Now people, when he's contending, they want him to win. I do not feel that way. I root for Sergio to fail. That sounds really bad, as I said it. But it's entertaining to me. Like, when there's Sergio is contending on the stretch and there's water on the hole, I feel like his ball has a magnet to the water, and I'm a little part of me is like, yeah, I hope this collapse happens.
First of all, I want to say a huge shout out to you for teasing the second player that we're going to talk about.
That's number
that's
one podcast.
That's professional podcasting.
It's
right
number
there.
One sports podcast.
That was really nice. You know, I don't root necessarily against Sergio now as much as I used to.
Right.
Because he's kind of become like a sympathetic figure.
It's like sad.
Yeah. Like, you know, and like my whole house erupted in applause when he missed that putt to win the British Open against Padraig Harrington.
Mm-hmm.
And it lipped out. We went nuts. Like, we fucking hated Sergio at that time.
Yep.
And then, you know, over the years, he's had the whole thing where he's like, oh, I played really bad this year because I was depressed about a girlfriend, an ex-girlfriend. And then he had another year where he just flat out came out and said, I don't have what it takes to win a major. So when you do those kinds of things, you become a sympathetic figure. And you almost become like a non-threat to the guys that we really care about.
Mm-hmm.
But then he does things like, you know, when he bitched about Tiger pulling a club in his backswing and the crowd going nuts at the players. I believe that was when Tiger won it in 13 at Sawgrass. So I'm very up and down about Sergio. I definitely don't really root for him, but in a sympathetic way, I don't really mind him anymore. I kind of like him in a sympathetic way.
Okay. The quote about him saying, I don't have the stuff to win majors, I think that's him being transparent, and that's interesting. I can't root for a guy like that. You saying that means you're not going to win one.
And it's rare for me not to feel that way because usually I'm pretty ruthless.
Yeah.
And cutthroat. And I love that, like, Tiger texts people, I'm uplifting, basically, bitch, what are you doing at 4 in the morning and stuff like that. But again, I don't know what it is. I don't know if I have a soft spot for him. I don't know if I just think that he's pathetic, so I don't feel too much hate towards him. I don't really know what it is. But anyway, he won. After all that talk, fucking won. His swing is great to watch. The way that he just rips, his woods even off the tee when he takes his three woods and takes massive divots. I don't know how the hell you do that. He rips the ball. He's always been one of the best ball strikers. So, impressive win. Beating Henrik down the stretch, that guy's an absolute machine. So, shout out to Sergio for winning.
I guess. Shout out to Sergio for winning.
Phil is our other guy.
Phil Mickelson.
Lefty. Great logo he's rocking this year. He's got the silhouette of him jumping up in the air.
Yep, that's a great logo.
Now that I think about it, we might have to get a shirt on that, some sort of T-shirt.
Yeah, we'll cut this part.
We'll definitely cut this. You'll never hear this part. But he's been playing really well. He's been in the mix. He made a little bit of a charge before kind of falling off on Sunday. But I mean, the guy's old. He's getting up there, and people are already been like, oh, you think, you know, Phil's going to play on the Champions Tour and all that?
No.
The guy could be winning on the PGA Tour right now. He's, and like you kind of mentioned when you teased it, he's a little bit Sergio-esque in that I feel like a lot more people used to root against Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know how you don't just love the guy.
No, I feel the same way. The show him and Henrik put on at the British Open last year, I mean, that endeared so many people. Yeah, I feel the way about Phil, like the opposite of the way I feel about Sergio. I'm now rooting for Phil. He's a good guy. He's always doing the thumbs up. You know, behind the scenes, he's a big gambler.
Oh, yeah.
I like that he has sort of the family guy image, and then behind the scenes, he's like, just wants to, you know, play for money, all that shit. That's,
yep.
That's interesting. Yeah, as he gets older, he's 46 now. He's not slowing down. He looks as good as he's ever looked. I think we're going to be hearing from Phil for at least the next couple of years.
Yeah, even as you were just saying that, he almost has kind of had the opposite likability trajectory, in my mind, of Bubba Watson, who Bubba, at first, like you said last show, on paper is very likable. His name's Bubba, which is great. He's a lefty, which always makes you stick out. He kind of works the ball. He plays aggressive, which you just want to love that. But the more that he had success and the more you heard from him and all that, the more you started to be like, kind of fuck this guy. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
Phil's like the opposite. I kind of at first was like, I don't know. We got Tiger and they were going head to head and I was rooting heavily for Tiger, obviously,
yep,
against Phil. And then the more that he's in the media, the more you hear him do interviews, the more stories you hear that add to his lore, the more I fucking love Phil.
How much do you think Phil, he would never say this publicly, loves that he is healthy and playing well and Tiger is just can't even play two rounds of golf.
Has to love it.
Just behind the scenes, just got to be like, because obviously Tiger dominated his era. That was always Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. Now people are just, it's Phil, because Phil can actually play.
Yeah, and Phil, you know, they always downplayed it, with the rivalry and all that, to the media. And they rightfully so, because the media loves to play that shit up. And they very rarely, you know, maybe at Bay Hill once off the top of my head, but they very rarely even went head-to-head.
Right.
And you, but you know it's there. It's got to feel good. And Phil's way too crafty with the media. He always, you know, takes the high road.
He's like an aw shucks guy.
Big time. Yeah, he is an aw shucks guy. So so you're right. That's definitely in there. I didn't think about that. But yeah, I think Phil's on the rise. He hasn't won in a while, even though he's been in the mix. And the Ryder Cup was obviously one of the biggest weeks of his life.
That was, yeah, it was Phil's Ryder Cup.
So hope Phil will be in the mix this year. Maybe we'll get at least one out of Phil or Tiger. We'll be healthy and in the mix.
Yep.
That's player feelings. We're going to go through those pretty much every week. Whoever's kind of on the radar that we think we should clarify or talk about.
Those are subject to change. We could do, I forget who we did the first week, but that player could rub us the wrong way. We can change these whenever we want.
I might hate Sergio next week.
Yeah. I might hate, I'm never going to hate Zach Johnson. But, you know, that's what we mean. It could change.
What would it take for you to hate Zach Johnson?
He would have to say, I don't want to be from Iowa anymore.
What if he was lying and he's like, I'm just kidding, I've never been from Iowa?
Then I would hate him.
Okay. I will work on that.
Okay.
All right. Next up, we got our interview with our boy Willie Wilcox. Little bit of a stoolie. Has always interacted with me a little bit, I think both of us on Twitter and all that. Great dude. Fan of the show. Everybody, please enjoy this interview with our boy Willie Wilcox. All right, this is our second official guest. We're joined by Willie Wilcox. First of all, Willie, how are you? Where are you right now?
I'm in Alabama. There literally could be a tornado at any point in the next 2 hours. I'm seeing my girlfriend in Alabama, so Birmingham.
You got a tornado warning down there or what?
No, it's not on the ground, but there's the tornadic activity. This happens about 10 times a year, so I'm not actually worried about it. But
I'm going to say I'm not rooting for a tornado to rip through during this interview, but that would be kind of an electric podcast.
Yeah, would we have
decent
Rob,
content? For
can
sure.
We have like the video? Can we? Were we recording the video if that happens? We'll have to work on that.
Yeah,
we'll
talk, yeah.
We'll talk to our tech team. But they're giving us a thumbs up.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Kind of grizzly looking out there right now, but I'm perfectly comfortable in the kitchen.
Well, thanks for joining us in a deathly situation, potentially.
No problem. I'm very brave like that. I'll do anything for the attempt at fame.
So we're gonna start off probably the thing you're most famous for, one of the more electric things I've ever seen. Your hole in one, 17th hole, Sawgrass last year, 2016. First of all, I mean, walk us through that a little bit. One of the most treacherous holes you walked up. I believe it was Friday, right? Second round?
Yeah. It was like just my standard like cut hugging crap that I do every week if I'm playing well. I'm going down the back nine, just, you know, nervous or whatever. And I'm like two or three under one, and I think I'm two inside the cut line. But, you know, I still got 10 holes to play or 11 holes to play. And, you know, I step on that tee and make that horrendous swing where I lashed at it and it went in. And the only thing that I was thinking was like, all right, now we got a really good chance of making the cut. Cause last place is like 20 grand that week.
Oh.
So I'm like, that would be nice. Even if I played like shit on the weekend. So, anyway, so that went in and, I just went crazy and the guys in my group went crazy too. So that kind of added to the, you know, that threw fuel on the fire. My family was there and just the moment was just chaos. So
yeah, so we were watching it before and that had to be the most electric celebration for a Friday shot of all time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I just get the whole thing out there is everything's pretty, you know, just hyped up. I mean, if you do anything good, especially in a tournament with that many people, you know, it gets pretty, I mean, I don't know how the guys don't get more excited, you know, Tiger would go nuts like that. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you for going nuts because it was the first one in 14 years, like 6,300 attempts. I would have gone just as crazy as you. I don't blame you one bit.
Yeah. I think I might've dove in the water or something.
If yeah,
I
yeah.
Hole in one, 17. And
I literally said that.
I do appreciate you the comments about your swing. I also laughed out loud at, I believe it was David Faraday who was covering it, and he called it an interesting squirm at that one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what it is. At that time, I mean, I wish I could have done it the year before because my swing looked pretty good then.
I mean, you should see us swing. I mean, it's...
Yeah, yeah. I've been doing it for 21 years now, so, you know, the way I was taught wasn't to, you know, have some real beautiful swing. We were just trying to hit it out of the dirt at the goat ranch I grew up on in Alabama.
what do you do with the ball, the hole-in-one ball?
I gave it to my caddy, and he's got a bar in Atlanta, and it's on the wall at the bar.
Very cool.
Oh, that's awesome. That's actually a good little spot for it. I probably would have just thrown mine in the water in a fit of excitement.
Yeah, I gave it to Mick for whatever reason. Mick's a good buddy, Australian dude. He's, you know, the guy with the tattoos all over his legs and in the video. He's a cool dude. All those Australian older caddies are generally pretty laid-back guys.
So we're very professional here. We were doing our classic research beforehand, getting our history up on Willie Wilcox. And the first thing we just have to comment on this. We don't know if you're aware of this. The first thing we looked up, you type in Willie Wilcox into Google, you go to Google Images, and there's like a fucking pirate ghost in a cave, and there's like 1,000 pictures. Are you aware of this thing?
No.
It's legit. It's like Will Wilcox, the pirate ghost, and there's like 1,000s of pictures of like a pirate ghost in a cave.
I've seen there was like an old like gold miner that was named Willie Wilcox or something. I've seen that on there. You mean just the images of...
So yeah, if you like go exclusively to images, for all the listeners out there, look it up. It's not what you're expecting when you're looking up a PGA Tour player.
Oh, Willie Wilcox, when you look up Willie Wilcox.
Yeah, is it Willie? I think it was Willie Wilcox we looked up, and it
was
just...
Will Wilcox is normal stuff. but why is pretty new.
So definitely don't go look up Will. We want Willie. We want our leaders want the weird stuff, I think.
That's true. Nice. Yeah, sounds good.
So let's go back. Speaking of history, you know, you graduate college. You're a 3-time All-American. Is that correct?
Yeah. The little D2 in Atlanta.
Yeah, and so you make the decision, I'm going to be a pro golfer. Trent and I were kind of talking because we're not good enough to be anywhere near pro pretty much anything. What's that like? I mean, once you decide, all right, I'm going to be a pro, I mean, what do you got to do? Where do you start out? Where do you go?
I mean, you know, you just kind of grow up in it. You know, when you're playing junior tournaments instead of, like, Little League baseball, you know, I mean, I played little league ball till I was like 12, but once you become like a one sport guy, you know, once you pick golf, you know, and I'm playing every day anyways, I'd say from the age 8 to 16, when I got my car, I definitely didn't miss a single day. You know what I mean? Ever. Because my mom was a professional. So I just rode to work with her. So honestly, it's just a natural progression of it. I didn't even think about it. You know, I mean, you show up at a tournament that costs money to play in.
Yeah, and where, I mean, do you just start accumulating right out of the gate? You're playing well, you start accumulating money to buy those entry fees. I mean, what's that grind like?
Oh, no, I mean, you get a financial backer. I mean, my folks didn't have the cash. A lot of people that get good enough to be professional golfers normally have rich parents. I'm unfortunately not one of those, but I had a guy that was basically like an uncle who was rich. So he gave me money, and it's like $2,500, three grand a week to play. And he basically said that he would pay that no matter what for 4 years.
That's awesome.
And that meant unlimited, you know, go. And I would keep like 60% of my earnings, which was pretty damn good. I mean, most people get totally screwed on that on the front end if you have, you know, non-wealthy parents.
That seems like a pretty great arrangement to give you. You got 4 years to kind of give this thing a shot.
Yeah. And so, but then I started out really solid and started doing good. And, you know, in 2010, I won a couple of events for like 40 grand. And that was my first full year. So I ended up making about 250,000 on the course that year. And, so that was a sign that obviously let's try to keep this thing going.
Yeah. I think that's awesome too, because, you know, we kind of pit the podcast as more like for the common golfer, right? The normal dude who's out on the weekend playing golf, whatever. So I think that type of guy really appreciates the kind of story of, you know, you don't necessarily get out of college and you just got everything made. You're not flying around to different tournaments on private jets. I mean, it's a struggle. You're out there playing for your livelihood.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, I was still a kid when I turned pro, so it was just fun. I was just riding around in my little car. I was putting probably 70,000 miles a year on my
That's amazing.
Little dumper Pontiac G6, and I mean, I had a great time. Like, I mean, it was roughing it a little bit, but I mean, it was still a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, just you're out there with your buddies, and you're not that far from home, so if you miss a cut, you just drive back to Bama anyways.
So yeah, Trent and I were talking, 'cause it was Hooters tour for a couple of years. I mean, what's the scene like out there? Guys going out, or as soon as you're done at the event, are you just going straight home?
Yeah, I mean, definitely some going out. I mean, a lot of it, you know, the Hooters girls were there on the Wednesday proms, and so, like, there was guys always
So you're not
chasing.
Going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, so they didn't want to go too far, but it was always in Podunk Town, so it's not like, you know, we're in whatever, Chicago or something. Right. we were in Hawkinsville, Georgia, and on some army base in like Fort Benning, Georgia, whatever, just some army course. You know, there's not exactly a lot of anyway. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of going out in golf. A lot of golfers drink. A lot of golfers have a lot of fun. So yeah, the Hooters tour is no different.
That's good because we drink too.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's perfect. We could totally relate. We're basically pro golfers.
Yeah, golf is, yeah, we all do it, you know, maybe we hit the ball a little bit better, but a lot of people are drinking at this level. This party, they're pouring it down your throat at the tour.
That's great to know. See, we knew that. It's nice to get confirmation. Yeah.
It's a leisurely game, you know what I mean? People are pretty chilling, you know, they're relaxed.
Yeah, for sure. So we also were talking, you're from Birmingham where you are now, right?
Yeah, I'm from right down the road in a smaller town.
And then during the year, I mean, where are you stationed out at? Are you down in Florida?
Jupiter, yeah, Jupiter.
Okay, gotcha.
Jupiter's is the way you can play golf year-round. So.
Yeah, it feels like that's where a lot of the guys are and kind of where they make their home base. I feel like there's a good crew down there. So, again, kind of get back to the common golfer type thing. I mean, if you're just playing around, let's say you've got a couple weeks before you got a tournament coming up, what kind of games are you out there playing with the guys? Is it pretty, you guys gambling, you kind of drinking, or is it real serious? What's that kind of scene like?
Not a ton of drinking during the game. Sometimes you'll have a beer at the end of the round. But, generally we're playing $100 Nassau, auto one or two downs. I mean, you can end up losing, you know, 700 to a grand if you play bad. Which is, you know, that's not a ton, but it's still like, you know, it gets the juices flowing. And especially if you're playing good, you're winning anyways.
Yeah, and everybody always loves to talk about the Tuesday game with Fowler and Phil and those guys, and that's kind of the whole point that they always try to get at is you want the juices to be flowing because you want it to be relatable to a real round.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I heard a funny thing last week. We asked a dude, me and Loop, we're on the range. It was Patton, and I was like, hey, do you want to play with us and wait a little bit? It was on like a Sunday, and he was like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to go play. And then he went up to the tee, and then he was back like 5 minutes later, and he was like, I literally can't even pull the club back if it's not for any money.
I love that.
I thought that was a pretty awesome comment.
Yeah, no, I respect the shit out of that.
Totally.
Yeah. And I feel like, too, I mean, if you guys are going to be used to playing out there, whether it's for your livelihood or whether you're playing for millions of dollars, it's got to be tough to really get the juices flowing unless you're playing for something.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to, like, learning something new, it's always evolving, you know, unfortunately. I wish it could be the same all the time, but there will be a decent amount of time where I'll just go play by myself and just hit drivers, you know, just tee balls and stuff. But, yeah, you got to – it's a lot better, a lot more fun when it's for something.
Yeah, so to speak to that kind of, I guess, a little bit, what's the day-to-day, right? You're kind of in Bama right now. You're with some family, with a girlfriend. Are you out practicing? And if you are, you know, like what kind of regimen are you hitting? Like 2,000 chips? Are you like what's that look like on a day to day?
Nothing too specific. I mean, I chip a lot. I mean, when I was playing really well, I was, you know, it's fun to chip when you're hitting, you know, nipping it and like hitting great shots around the greens.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not quite sure where it's bottoming out, but no, currently the weather sucks here, so I knew this was going to be a 3-day layoff. You know,
gotcha.
I knew coming here, which is fine, because I'm going to play my 4 rehab starts on the web because I'm like, I don't know where the hell it's going. But these days are off. Tomorrow I fly back to Jupiter, and I'll get right back into it. More than likely, I'll just go grab a cart and just chip around and play some holes. You know, generally there's no one in town right now. Like all the web's gone and the tour. So The next, you know, I like to chip a ton. I mean, and it's nothing too specific. It's mostly like out of really bad lies around the greens. I try to just practice out of, you know, shitty lies as much as possible. Because then when you get on tour, the lies are always going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I always wonder that because you always hear the announcers, you know, some guy will get some fucked up lie, you know, at a big moment. And they're always like, no, he practices this. And I'm like, does he?
Yeah. Yeah. It's more about out of the bad lies than the good lies, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. So it's good to know. But keep putting that time in. We appreciate it.
You had talked a little bit about, well, you were on the Hooters Tour and then you played, obviously, PGA Tour events. What's the biggest difference when you're showing up to, because I feel like when you showed up to a PGA Tour event, everything's pristine. There's balls waiting for you. Is that, I mean, as you go down the tours, is it a lot different when you show up?
Not on the web. I mean, the web is great. That's all Pro Vs and generally nice grass. I mean, some of the courses you play south of the border, it gets a little more, you know, sparse. But yeah, I mean, the Hooters Tour was still decent golf balls. Back then, the Hooters Tour actually had money. Now it really doesn't. I'm sure it isn't too flashy now. I mean, it's definitely not. Like when we were playing, it was like 35K for the win, 40K. And then now it's like 10 grand and then nobody wants to play. So it's, playing on those lesser tours in the smaller markets and the little towns. I mean, that's definitely a different vibe. I mean, when you get to the tour, you're in like Los Angeles and San Francisco and San Diego. I mean, it's just, you name it. Every place you go is awesome.
This last weekend, Waste Management, speaking of, you know, awesome, about as big as it gets. I think the number was 600,000.
They had like 206,000 on the biggest day, and that's one day.
Yeah, so shit ton of people, you know, the biggest event really spectating-wise that they got. What's it like playing in that environment? Is it really when you roll up to 16, is it that much different? You kind of just focused on what you're doing, it doesn't mess with you? What's the deal there?
It's definitely a good bit different, but, I mean, you know, you only get the boos on 16, you know, like if you hit a bad shot, they only boo you on that hole because it's accepted there. You know what I mean? Like if you boo somebody in another situation, that's not really that cool of a move. It's 16 is like dream come true stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, it's as cool as it gets.
So you like that, because I feel like there's some guys that shy away from it. You kind of embrace that situation.
Yeah. I mean, that's what sucked the other day when I was playing like shit on Friday. I was looking at my caddy like, man, if I was playing good, this would be so much fun. And he was just, because they're literally chanting my name like for three straight holes. Like I got a Willie Wilcox chant walking down 18 from like the tee box to my golf ball. I mean, that's like an 8-minute walk. And they're chanting and I'm just like, damn it. I mean, I just wish I could have made the cut, because I really would have been like a fan favorite, which is always so cool. But right now I'm still kind of in search mode, but it was still, I appreciated the shit out of it. I was like, the damage is done, but thank you.
I think people always find it interesting kind of hearing a little bit about that banter with your caddy out there, because he's the only guy you got. And Trent and I were kind of talking. We were like, we think it'd be a really good question to ask everybody we have on. You know, what are you guys talking about out there?
Yeah. I mean, just we talk about, like, I don't want to get too specific, but, you know, like there's a decent bit of just joking around about girls, whether it's past girls or current, you know, just whatever to keep it light.
Classic.
We talk about travel a lot. My caddy's a big travel buff, and it's caddytravels.com. He's like a connoisseur of credit cards. It's crazy.
What?
And, he always is like, I'm going to go to, he said he was going to fly to Hong Kong the other day. He does it for free in first class, and he has 22 credit cards, and he like maximizes all his points on all the credit cards. It's hilarious. So I'm always picking his brain about that.
It sounds like he's rigging the travel system a little bit.
Totally is. He'll sit on hold for an hour and explain to the person that they owe him more points and shit like that. And it's just pure gold. And he's like, he flies around on Singapore Air and he's got his own like bedroom on the plane. And so I always pick his brain about that. Cause you know, he's just chilling on tour. I've had a little bit of success, but he's not like loaded. He's not, you know what I mean? And he flies around like a billionaire on these airlines. And he's beating the system. It's just awesome.
Yeah. Are we exposing him on this podcast? Is he going to get in any sort of trouble?
We have to like start bleeping out parts of the podcast.
No. I mean, he's following the system. Like, he just calls people and explains the way the rule book works. Like, he knows how many points he's given. So if they shortchange him ever, he can argue for those. You know what I mean? He just maximizes everything in every way. And it's just hilarious.
So if anything, he knows the rules more than the companies actually know the rules.
Exactly. And that's what he says to him. He calls him and he's like, I know more about your job than you do. And give me the points.
Yeah, don't hate the play, hate the game. You know,
that's true.
I did not.
Those credit cards make tons of promises, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did not think when we asked that question, you were going to say we talk about like credit, like taking advantage of all credit card loopholes.
Yeah, and I know it's pretty crazy, but he's actually a pretty sharp dude, and he's just a country guy from Kentucky, and so I think that part's really funny too. But anyways, that's what we were talking about last week. I was just like, "Where have you been? Like, what are you up to?"
So you guys, you guys try to keep it light.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Extremely. And just it depends. Like, you know, I've only had 4 or 5 caddies, like main dudes, that worked for me for an extended period of time. So it depends on the person and the mood and, you know, whatever.
How much do you guys notice individual fans? Like, you walk in, you know, to your ball and you're like, hey, how about that fucking asshole yelling Saturdays for the boys or whatever behind us?
Yeah. Not a ton, because there's so many people that are looking at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's so many people that are staring at you. If there's even like 30 people standing over somewhere and they're like, hey, you know, whatever, say something stupid. And you look over there, it's hard to connect with any one person because you don't know where it came from anyways.
Right.
So that actually is pretty confusing. So that's why people don't really look up there, because like, even if your mom is standing in a crowd of 1,000 people, you're not going to be able to like find her if you're just glancing.
True. I guess that makes sense.
It does.
That's good, because you always wonder, you know, you get some people. I mean, it is funny, and we tweet a lot of them out when they are funny, but it's also got to be annoying on some level.
I mean, I think it's funny. I mean, they were chanting my girlfriend's name, and, you know, they do just silly stuff like that.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they probably had Barstool, you know, shirts on, too. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't tweet about that or something. But yeah, there's a whole, like, cheering section that is pretty abusive.
That's hilarious. So it was Waste Management this last weekend. Now you're in Bama for a little 3-day retreat. What's next for Willie Wilcox?
Going back to Jupiter, and then I'm going to practice, and then I'm going to go to Panama next week. The Panama City web.com event, because you're allowed rehab starts, and I only have 2 more tour starts. I don't know if y'all know about all that, but I'm on a medical exemption.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm going to go play in Panama, and then, you know, whatever. Trying to make some money.
You'll see our boy Jim Renner will probably be out there.
We're rooming together.
That's perfect.
No way.
Just to save money on the hotels, you know. And he's a legend anyway, so.
Yeah. Oh, Jim's the best.
Yeah. I don't know where Welchie's staying, though. I know Welchie's caddying.
Yeah. So Welchie, I do always text him, like, you know, so what's the plan for this week? And he's always like, I got something cooking. I'm like, all right, yeah. Welchie, he's got something ready.
He's the man. I think he still has his condo in, down in Florida, so I think he's been chilling there mostly. But I've known him. When I first turned pro, Welchie was like the boss. He was winning all the money.
Yeah, I first met him this last summer. He had a kid, his first kid, so he moved back home where he's from in Boston. Was an assistant pro at a club that I had a junior membership at. And so that's how I got to know him, and he hits the ball like nothing I've ever seen before. That guy just flushes the ball, for all the listeners.
He made
out
it
there.
Look pretty easy for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's what I heard. And he's played in, I think he played U.S. Open at Bethpage, and he played TBC Boston once, so.
Yeah, and he's like made some cuts on the web. I mean, he's legit, and he won a lot of events on the Hooters Tour.
Yeah.
So that's significant.
Yeah, no, so that'll be, we got some good golfers and some, I imagine that'll be a pretty good time in that house next week.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so we will definitely be polling for you next week. All of our listeners will. I'm sure you'll start to get the treatment out there. Guys will be coming at you with shirts and all that. So either ignore them or embrace them.
Yeah, sounds good.
And we'll close. We always close with rapid fire. We ask just 3, 4, 5 quick questions, quick answers,
right,
and then we let you go.
Sounds good.
All right, I'm going to start here. First question, do you pop your collar as a joke, or is that serious?
I don't want to get skin cancer. This response is, I actually have 2 things cut off my body.
Oh, what?
I'm prone to skin cancer.
Okay, then that's a okay.
God, Trent, you're such an asshole.
Now I feel bad for asking that question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Will. No, I didn't want to make you feel that way, but I'm just being honest.
The best way to answer that is to make me feel like shit. So that's you nailed it.
I'm gonna make Trent feel like shit about that for the next couple months, several months.
All right.
Next question. Number one guy on tour. If you have to have a night out, you need a night out.
Yeah.
Who's the number one guy on tour that you go to?
Steve Marino, for sure.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. We'll have to get producer Rob, get him on the next podcast.
He's the man.
What is your next question? What is your go-to curse word when you hit a shitty shot? What just comes out of you?
I mean, just fuck me. Just fuck me. That's a good one, but I heard a guy scream, "You got to be fist fucking me!" One time, I thought,
that's a good one. Yeah, you never know. Really, you get a couple holes in, especially if you never played with somebody before. You get a couple holes in, and then just some wild stuff starts to come out of their mouth.
Just letting them fly. Yeah, I've always golf's a tough game to not just offend someone that's in the crowd.
All right, last one. What is the worst golf course you've ever played?
Worst. I'd have to say the Rock in Talladega, Alabama. It's like in Talladega Municipal Course in Talladega, as you can imagine, that's pretty bad. Call it the Rock because it's just in the worst shape of any course ever.
Yeah, because we've had Trent and I were talking, and we're gonna do kind of a little segment every time where we just talk about the shittiest, worst golf course we've ever played. Mostly because everybody can relate to it. You get out there, it's real cheap, you have a good time.
They're still fun, yeah.
All right, Trent, you got anything else?
No, I think that'll wrap it up.
All right. Well, we really appreciate it, man. We'll be pulling for you. And you're a great guest. You're a fun guy to talk to. So I think that us and all of our number one sports podcast listeners will be pulling for you.
That's awesome. I appreciate the opportunity. Y'all are awesome.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on.
No problem. See ya.
All right, folks. That was our boy, Willie Wilcox. Again, thank you to Will for coming on.
Great guest.
Great guest.
He was awesome. Everything I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, exactly. He is kind of exactly what we were talking about before we spoke with him. We were like, I think he's going to be like this and this, and that's exactly who he was. He's a very normal guy.
Yeah, a little bit of a stoolie, so you kind of know going in that what you can talk about, and he was awesome.
Definitely. One of our guys. Very relatable. Very, very, very good golfer, however, so that's what's not relatable.
Yeah.
But great dude. I'm definitely going to start saying, you got to be fist-fucking me.
Great quote.
Phenomenal quote. Might be my new go-to, basically with anything. Cornhole. Yeah. Just like when we're not the number one podcast.
You got to be fist-fucking me.
You got to be fist-fucking me. Everybody's favorite segment coming up next from the gallery. As we've said many times, / the one time we had a podcast. Communal episode, communal podcast. We love submissions. We love talking, hearing, whatever, about what people do with their buddies.
Got a lot of submissions. Shout out to people sending stuff in.
Tons of submissions, a lot of DMs, a lot of tweets, a lot of emails. Quick reminder, if you're going to submit a from the gallery, email foreplay@barstoolsports.com. Be sure to include in the headline.
From the gallery.
From the gallery. Again, we got to be able to sort it. We get a ton of emails because we're the number one podcast in the universe. So make sure. foreplay@barstoolsports.com from the gallery. Put that in there. First one, Sean, called Literal Birdie, which I believe Rob named that himself.
Yep, named it.
He writes, me and my friends have a rule that if you kill an animal with a golf shot, you have to eat the animal. It hasn't happened yet, but it's bound to.
That last sentence is the key. None of my friends have killed an animal while playing golf. So this is more rare than just about anything you could ever do.
Yeah, I really don't know what kind of animal you'd be most likely to kill. I mean, I guess it would have to be a low-flying bird.
Yeah, that's the only thing I was thinking.
Something like that. Maybe a squirrel or something. If you send like a low missile into a tree.
If you
something.
Hit it into the woods, maybe you just like might catch something off guard.
I would even say, I mean, I don't know if it's possible. What if you hit like, if you like scald a low screamer into a pond and hit like a fish.
There we go. Or
then,
like,
but then you got to go. You just got to eat the fish.
You know what? Oh, that's a good question. I hadn't gotten to the part where you have to eat it.
That's the thing. Is like you got to fucking eat it.
You could catch a duck going the other way. Like if he's swimming away from you, you could catch a duck. Eating a duck's pretty good.
Yeah, no, duck's delicious. I don't know. Do you bring it into the fucking into like the halfway house. You're like, hey, cook this this creature up that I killed with my fucking golf ball.
It's never gonna happen. It's just never gonna happen.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't. My buddy one time, there's a course in outside of St. Louis that has like power lines over one of the holes.
Yeah.
And we've hit the power lines before and like totally ricocheted the ball. But I mean,
that's also an object that doesn't move.
Doesn't move. It's just there. But that's really like the wildest thing that I've ever seen hit besides like the usual suspects.
Yeah. Nobody's hit an animal. I don't think it's happening. But interesting nonetheless. If it happens, you got to eat it, according to Sean.
Yeah, according to Sean and his buddies. So I kind of like that rule.
Okay. All right. Maybe implement that one if you want. Next up, we got an email from Ethan called Pink Ball 3-Putt. Settle on a dollar amount before the round starts. First person to 3-putt has to play with a pink ball going forward. If they lose the pink ball, they pay everyone the agreed-upon dollar amount. Have to play with the pink ball until another person 3-putts, at which point the second person takes over the pink ball.
Yeah, again, it's some sort of variation of snake, which I was talking about last week, which is, you know, you always put something on the 3-putt. Whoever's the last guy to 3-putt, there's something going on. This one, this case, it's a pink ball.
Yep.
But I do like that you have to then play with the pink ball. You can't lose it. Devastating if you lose it. I've also played a format where your group you start with one pink ball and everybody has to rotate. Like, let's say you're a foursome. You rotate every hole, so you would once every four holes you play with the pink ball, and your group has to come into the clubhouse with the pink ball. If you don't, okay, whoever makes it the furthest, blah, blah, blah. So a pink ball, classic.
I like this because I like that it kind of makes fun of Bubba Watson. Like,
oh, true.
You don't want the pink ball.
I didn't think about that.
That makes me happy.
It's like a fuck the pink ball game.
Exactly. And that's like Bubba's like, oh, I'm going to use a pink ball now.
So you're saying the pink ball game, fuck the pink ball, transitive property, fuck Bubba Watson.
100%.
I don't hate it. Third one, we got TJ. This one's called the Heckle Hole. Again, I don't know if Rob's making these fucking names up, but they're just ridiculous. If you're down by only a few strokes of the back nine, you get one hole where you get to talk or do anything you want during every swing of the leader. If he beats you on that hole, it's double your score. You get a four. It turns to an eight, in case we don't know how to do math. So I'm
worried about this one because this is the type of thing that's going to start a fight with your buddies. Like when you're drunk, if you start doing backswing stuff, I'm necessarily not in favor of any like sort of backswing yelling because I think that's just weird. And I realize that's like the point of this segment. But this is the type of thing where fists are going to fly with a buddy if you got money on the game and you're starting to do like drunken backswing stuff.
Yeah, you can really piss some people off here in your own group, in other groups on the course.
Yep.
The marshals might not love it if you're just fucking screaming. I've played where you get like one scream in somebody's backswing over the course of the match and they don't know when it's coming.
Yeah.
Which.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good because you're just always on edge and you can really get in people's head.
It's almost better
than
like,
oh, I'm coming for you this time. And the guy's standing over the ball like, motherfuckers, you're going to yell this time.
And then last week we had the hand wedge.
Yep.
Where the guy said you get one every hole, and this one is saying you get on every swing. You got to regulate it.
Again, a lot of these come down to regulation.
Yep.
A couple of you people are just psychos out there. Regulate it a little bit. Settle down. This is golf.
Yours is a better variation because the anticipation of someone saying something in your backswing would drive me up a fucking wall.
And that's almost worse. And then especially if you really save it towards the last couple holes, because they know, they're like, all right, I only got seven swings left. It's coming. One of these fucking swings. And the probability starts to get higher and higher again. I don't know if you people are math people out there playing probability game. It gets real nerve-wracking down the stretch.
Yours is better.
Thank you.
Yours is better. We got one more. This one, I don't know about this one. It's Kyle. It's called the Grip Slap.
Is that fucking Rob again?
I don't know. I almost don't want to know if Rob's naming these or not.
Okay.
All right, grip slap. If any player, sober or shitty, does not have his drive make it past the ladies' tee, he receives at any moment before the end of the round a vicious dumb and dumber style while holding the head of a club grip slap to the back of the legs. Hurts like hell, but it also funny as shit and causes anxiety as to when it will happen. Kind of the same idea, a little more violent than the heckle.
Yeah, definitely increase of violence on this one to the heckle. Especially physical violence, like traceable violence, concrete violence, is definitely a little risky on the golf course. I'm not sure that's what golf is about, but I do like the anxiety angle. Everybody has some. Usually, it's you whip your dick out if you don't hit it past the ladies' tees. These guys just whip each other with clubs.
I don't like these. I don't like this one whatsoever. Yeah. Physical violence when you're out just playing a normal round with your buddies, not something I want to be involved in.
Yeah, I think Kyle and his buddies. I mean, again, in spirit, you're trying to make it a little more interesting, a little unique. I don't think like whipping each other with the grip of your golf club.
It seems very like hazing.
Yeah, it's definitely like, oh, you hit a bad shot, I'm going to haze you now.
Yeah, like I don't want that anxiety in my mind either. I don't want any of this anxiety in my
mind. No, hazing's illegal, so we can't condone that. Trent, I believe you have a bonus.
I've got a bonus one here that I really liked. We got a ton of submissions. Shout out to people for sending them in. I don't have the guy's name because I just remember it by memory, but sorry about that. It's called Marshmallows, and this guy said that he gets together with a big group of guys, a huge group of guys every year. They go play a bunch of golf, and one of the guys in the group brings a bag of large marshmallows. And what he does throughout the round is he leaves them in the fairway, in the bunker, wherever on the course. And it said it drives people crazy because everybody drives up on the balls thinking they're golf balls, and they're just fucking marshmallows.
Amazing. I laughed out loud when I saw that. Great move. Anytime you're just trolling people, pranking people, fucking with people in a harmless way, not where you're like whipping your buddies with golf clubs. I'm all for that. So big fan of the marshmallow move. The fact that they're marshmallows too. I mean, if you pull up on one of these you just start eating them, right?
Yes.
So if you're playing behind this guy, like, you get a little frustrated, but then you're, you just switch to like a fucking pink ball or something.
No,
little,
I will say this.
Kind of reverse segue there.
I remember in the email, it specifically said, this is a funny idea at first, and then people start getting legitimately angry every time they run up on a marshmallow.
Yeah, because especially, I mean, you hit a, you know, if you're out there playing a classic, like, you know, amateur public track or whatever, you're probably not the greatest golfer. You drive all the way over, you're like, oh, there's my ball. Okay, cool. I don't have to look for very long. Nope, marshmallow, searches back on. Adds a lot of time to your round, probably very frustrating. Probably adds a lot of strokes to your round, so
still pretty funny.
Regardless of all of that, very funny. And again, you get to eat a lot of marshmallows, so probably pretty dependent on how much you love marshmallows.
I like marshmallows.
It is Pebble AT&T Pebble Beach Pro Am Week.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta love Pebble Beach.
Yeah, it's Pebble Beach.
If you don't love Pebble, there's something wrong with you. So that just adds to it right out of the gate. It's fascinating to watch. They get to, you know, they do all the cliff fucking images, all the HD cameras now. They always get the waves crashing in on, like, the seventh hole, that short par three.
I would be curious to see if you cut all that together over the course of the tournament, how long they force you to stare at crashing waves.
A lot of the, you know, golf Twitter is going to be pissed at how few golf shots they show and how many just vistas and cliffs and shit they show. But I love it. I also love, too, the celebrity aspect.
Yep, of course.
It's unreal. Billy Belichick, all those types of guys will be out there.
Oh, Bill Murray.
Bill Murray is a legend. Is Boomer playing again?
Who?
Is Boomer playing again?
Oh, I'm not sure.
He usually plays, and they just, like, make fun of him the whole time.
Yeah, yes.
So that you got to – and they play right through. I mean, it's not just the Pro-Am on Wednesday. You know, they're in the whole tourney, so we got to love bringing the celebs out. Also, another thing about Pebble Beach is that for those of us that grew up playing the Tiger Woods video game series,
yep,
this is the most classic course.
It really is.
You just play it on repeat.
I have never played Pebble Beach, but I have played Pebble Beach 1,000 times.
I know every shot. I know every blade of grass on that fucking course. I know where you can get up and down from. I know where you can't hit it. I know like how the wind typically plays. So know that course phenomenally from the video game. Almost shocking when I watch them play that they're not just shooting like 49.
Yeah, they're not. Why are they not like 24 under right now?
Well, how is he not? If you mix in like one or two hole outs from eagle, you can shoot like 25, 26 under.
Pebble Beach is so easy.
So easy. So I'm not really sure what's wrong with the players, but great track. Leads us to a classic question. If you were playing in the tourney, you got to pick one celebrity, any celebrity from the world, from Earth, who would be your celebrity partner for the week?
I'm going to make you go first because I hadn't thought about it as much as I think I should have.
Mine's going to be maybe a controversial answer.
I think I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
I'm going to now you're making me want to change it because you think you know.
Yeah, I
do. I'm going to say Paige Sporanic.
What?
Here's why. If you go back to kind of college days when you pick a chick as your beer pong partner for the night, you're in.
Yep.
It's a lock.
Totally.
Thinking is Paige, celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Hot as fuck.
Yep.
Good golfer. I don't know how you don't pick her.
You just stole my girl right out from under me. I don't think I was going to pick her, but that's just disrespectful.
I felt bad doing about it. That's why I didn't tell you who my pick was going to be beforehand. But I don't just don't know how you do it. Again, going strictly based on past history at events where you team up with someone. When you team up with a chick, you dramatically increase your chances of, you know, good luck with that chick.
All right. I'm going to steal the pick that I thought you had. That's also a controversial pick.
Wow.
Which, because I hadn't thought of one.
Okay.
I'm going to say Donald Trump.
Power? Is that just a power pick?
I just want to see, like, what, I want to know what his golf game is like. You hear so much about it. He's obviously a huge golfer. I want it to be Donald Trump.
Are you walking down the fairway with Secret Service?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, surrounding your crew?
I want the whole nine. I want to say that I had to be protected by Secret Service. That's something I can bounce my grandkids
on.
I
didn't even think about that.
I would have bet money that that's where you were going. You said a controversial pick.
Yeah, I just meant controversial because of your, you know, your history with her.
It's very controversial. We're not in a good place.
You were thinking
now.
Controversial, like, globally.
Very much so.
And, like, geopolitically and all that.
It would be crazy for Donald Trump to just walk around with him, get a bunch of Secret Service and stuff.
It would be unbelievable. And he's a good golfer.
That's what I want to see.
Allegedly.
I was going to say, is that coming from him, or who's that coming from?
It's coming from him and several sources, but he kind of controls the sources.
Right. And he's 70 now, so you don't know how flexible he is, how that swing's looking.
70, you're getting up there.
Especially him. He's not a healthy-looking 70, if I may say, Mr. President.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know if the Foreplay podcast wants to be going after the president like that, calling him not healthy looking.
I'm just saying.
Just Trump, if your people are listening, Russia, if you're listening.
Russia's definitely
We're
listening.
Not being mean to Trump, but we would like to see him play the game of golf.
Love to.
Check out his game. All right, that will wrap it up. We do want to remind everybody, go on to iTunes, give a review, 5-star review, leave the best comment. You can win a green jacket, unbelievable jacket. Trent and I are wearing ours right now.
Yep.
You look really sharp, Trent.
You look sharp as well.
Unbelievable jacket. You could win one yourself. Go leave a comment for the Foreplay podcast. Leave good stuff. Don't forget to email us, foreplay@barstoolsports.com. Trent, you got anything else to add?
I do not. The green jackets, you got to leave comments because they're sharp as shit.
Enjoy Pebble Beach. Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
I hit it hard, man. So far, man. No laying up, no holding back.